Blog Talk Radio.
San Francisco 49er fan, you just need to look to the west to understand what signed, sealed, and delivered means. So kudos to Colin Kaepernick. Kudos to Ray Lewis as the Ray Lewis saga and story continues. Welcome in to the January 13th playoff edition of the Fastest Series, truly Vinny Moore, the helm. Lots of interesting things going on. We could easily dedicate 2 hours just to the two playoff games in the NFL yesterday. But we got lots to do and little time to do it. So let's get the little prelim stuff out of the way early. First of all, shout outs to Calgary. Shout outs to Kezia Mosley and JB and the things that they've done. Listen, I for those of you that ever travel up to the Calgary area up here, if you ever need some wonderful gifts for a loved ones, ideally the women in your lives, bags, handbags, carry items, their store has the ish. That's why I'm gonna put it like that. They have the ish. So kudos to Kezia for that. Also, to my prognosticating haters out there, I humbly submit to you, before we even get into the nuts and bolts of what happened yesterday, that yours truly, the one and only Vinny Moore, Mr. 70.5% accuracy, was dead wrong. Dead wrong. I had the Green Bay and Denver Broncos getting to the Super Bowl and playing an amazing football game. And all that was shot down in the worst possible way yesterday. But a fun season. Now all the pressure's off. So for those of you still having teams in the hunt, yeah, good luck with that one. Because it's going to be interesting. I do have my thoughts on Seattle, Atlanta today. Thoughts on New England and Houston today. No, they won't be too much different than they were in the past. Also, I got a chance. Most of us in the media and radio or in sports media, a lot of times we don't go back and listen to some of the older shows that we've done. So I got a chance to do that. And it's always amazing when you hear something you said that actually came to light. Okay, and, you know, you hope that's the case, obviously, when you said what you said. But it's always nice to sometimes have that reaffirmation that that is indeed exactly what went down. And I prognosticated it right to the letter, right to the T. So it was really, really cool in that regard. Also, when you're wrong, being able to man up and say, you know what, my bad. Hey, I was wrong. So I humbly submit to you. I thought Green Bay would go into San Francisco yesterday and put it on them. The offense was clicking. I didn't have as much faith in San Francisco's defense as I guess the rest of the world did. But that's not what separated that game. What separated the game was a Colin Kaepernick sighting of nth degrees. I mean, 181 rushing yards from the quarterback position alone, a single game record for that position, playoff or regular season. That's an NFL record that kid set yesterday. So we have some clips and highlights from that. We have clips and highlights from both games. We're going to share all that with you, all this and more, on the Fastest 60 Minute Sports back in 15.
January is Customer Appreciation Month at Subway Restaurants, so we're saying thanks with $3 6-inch sandwiches. That's right, our totally tasty egg salad and ham sandwiches are just $3 each. Hurry in, January only. Subway, think fresh, eat fresh.
All right, 15 seconds, and that is it. That is, by the way, that's a new Subway clip for everyone out there. That came from the national office. God, I hope that's taking, you know, going like North America wide, because that would really, really be cool. So far, it is January and it is early, and many of you have come off what has been a solid holiday season into what's been a good bowl season. And I would be remiss if I didn't give Alabama its kudos. It's six past the hour. There are a lot of my friends and family out there who are Notre Dame fans, and you have just gone absolutely mute after the beatdown Alabama put on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And again, that's one of those things that when I roll back the tapes from shows we talked about this heading up to this game, and I said there were many people out there that didn't think Notre Dame deserved to be on the same field with Alabama. And I also went ahead and said that guys like Manti Te'o needed that game to play the next day because they were ready to play. Well, guess what? Second game, and they weren't ready to play. And I say that kindly and as humbly as I possibly can, because the reality is they looked small. They looked slower. Alabama looked like this was men playing with boys. This game was out of hand in the first half. Now, the funny thing is, the score might have been, 42-14 in the final, the final score. But the second half of that game, it played relatively evenly. No one really won up the other guy too much of anything. And, by the time Brent Musburger and Kurt Herbstreit got to gawking about A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, no one really cared too much about the game. The game was pretty much done at that point. But for those of us who really, really get into the talent that's on that field and what that's going to become at some point, we're looking at what players can benefit our favorite teams. I'll be the first one to tell you, Eddie Lacy, the running back of Alabama, is going to look really, really good on some form. Now, obviously, there's Matt Forte, and we'd love to see him in a Bears uniform, but Matt's going to be around for a little while, so chances are we're not going to get that break with an Eddie Lacy. And the other thing that was kind of scary about that whole scene is a lot of those players are freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. Very few seniors are on that Alabama squad. A lot of them have already gone to the NFL, which means Alabama's going to be good again, very, very good next year. I'll tell you some other teams real quick that are going to be really, really good in college football next year. Florida State. Florida State may be the deepest team in college football coming into the next year. And now that Ohio State sanctions are over, I don't know how you stop Urban Meyer and what was an undefeated Ohio State team, which easily might have given Alabama a much more competitive game than what Notre Dame did. And that's not to discount Notre Dame's season. Again, 12-1, they finished, I think, fifth in the final rankings when all was said and done. But the reality is it looked like been against boys, and that's going to come back to haunt them. Preseason rankings. Brian Kelly, head coach of Notre Dame, did not jump out of the NFL as we thought he would. Decides to stay at Notre Dame, which is a good thing. For that program, and really a good thing for college sports. There's some guys like Spurrier. They have had a dime in the NFL. Saban was the same way. Didn't go very well. Your strength is in the college game, and that's where you need to stay. So Saban stays with Alabama. Spurrier is happy in South Carolina. I think they were like fourth or sixth in the final rankings this year. That's a great program in South Carolina. And for those of you Dookie fans, I know this was a rough weekend because you lost your undefeated run to the season, losing to NC State over the weekend. But, listen, your football team at a bowl game, how often does that happen? So pat yourselves on the back for that. In the meantime, a lot of fun things going on. Six days from now, the National Hockey League starts up again. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I, an NHL fan, get to talk about hockey once more and again. That puck drops on the 19th of January. It's a 48-game season, so not quite the same emphasis. again, remember the NBA lockout when they came back to a 50-game season a few years ago? This is what spawned the San Antonio Spurs. I believe it was their first title. And it's really, really simple. You come out of the gate hard, come out of the gate fast. You get up to, you know, if your first 10 games are absolutely critical. You need to come out of there 9-1, 8-2, and somewhere in that ballpark. And, you know, that first 20 games, you march your season. You cannot start slow. You just can't. Not with a 48-game season. So the NHL is back. Happy that our Blackhawks are back practicing. Happy that the Calgary Flames are back practicing. And, again, lots of fun things. At 10 past the hour on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Now, in case anyone's asleep at the wheel, there are other sports kind of in their down times right now, like Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, hot stove. It's been relatively quiet. You have, talking about Derek ready for the season. You have news of a Negro League museum honoring Major League Baseball's best. You have a brand new classic and that whole thing going on. Pujols may play in the classic at some point. But, you know, in the long and short of it, even MLB.com has fragmented their site to even talk about basketball and football. That's how quiet Hot Stove is for right now. So the 2013 Baseball Classic, you can find all that information out on MLB.com. I understand that this year's manager is Joe Torre. Again, Joe's a great manager. He will have those guys ready to play. For the Classic, again, I believe it's, again, that's a World Baseball Classic. So you're going to see Canadian players. You're going to see Dominican Republic players. You're going to see Japanese players. And it's going to be an awfully good time for that. All right. To the NBA. And, again, want to get all these answer things that we really want to get in the NFL heavy, hot and heavy. But let's get the NBA taken care of right now. Your Heat have won recently. They're 24-11, which is kind of where you expect them. The Knicks were there. They've lost the last three, so they're 23-13, followed by Indiana, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Chicago is 20-15, quietly, having just recently lost to Phoenix. But five games up over 500, four games back for the number one seed, and they're not even at full strength. So I don't know what that means for Bulls fans, but we'll be anxious to see how Chicago handles the return of Derrick Rose here relatively quickly. Since 19-17, 5.5 games back out. Milwaukee, 18-17, that is the eight playoff teams if the season were to end today in the Eastern Conference of the National Basketball Association. And the Western side of things, Oklahoma City still dominating at 28-8. L.A. Clippers right behind them at 28-9. The San Antonio Spurs, and then Memphis, Golden State, Denver, Portland, and Houston. Yes, it is still a missing Lakers squad in tow after the Lakers have lost six straight games. Ouch. Lakers are 15-21. It is getting late for them to something about their current season. You've already heard the squawking about D'Antoni and his system. You hear squawking about the infighting between Dwight and Kobe. And yet it's still, it's been proven sometimes great superstars play better apart than they ever do together. But the season is far from over. We will see exactly. The scary thing for those for teams who have to play the Lakers, Kobe still leads the league in scoring. And if that team gets in the playoffs, anything can happen. Even as an 8 seed. Never ever count out the Los Angeles Lakers. All right? That's it for your NBA love. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. I'd love to spend some more time on Major League Baseball, but there's nothing there to talk about, so we won't do that. And again, as I kind of clear the palette here for all these wonderful stories associated with the NFL playoff games, let's see. Let's run down. Is anything outside? Let me not forget that Mark Cuban says he won't trade Dirk Nowitzki. Okay, that's fine. It's not enough. Okay. Well, we're 2 minutes ahead of the curve, so I need two more minutes of fill time here. So, guys, bear with me, and then otherwise I'll have to pay for it on the back end of this thing. And I know you don't want me to talk about, like, shoe sizes or, you know, things that are mundane. So rather than do anything like that, I will stick to the topic at hand, which, of course, is Baltimore's shocking upset over Denver, 38-35. Yesterday, a game that with 31 seconds left in the game, 37 if you want to get technical, 37 seconds on the ball of snap. That game is basically in hand. Denver's up by a touchdown and a blown coverage, and you'll get to hear all this soon enough, changes that whole outcome. Matter of fact, why don't we just roll to some of that now? Because some of this is just, it still blows me away to hear some of the replays of what exactly happened yesterday. Anyway, 37 seconds of the game, a game that's gone back and forth, you know, good plays, bad plays. Man, let's go from the top down, because the thing up really an amazing start. Holiday, and yeah, his 90-yard. Well, is this the first? This was the first and the second one. The first one was the kickoff return. That was the first one. Game moves forward. Game moves forward. Then we get to the second one. This is the, I believe this is the second one. Check it out.
More than happy to accommodate. Trendon Holiday back for the punt.
Major indeed, asking for all kinds of trouble. Trendon Holiday, two returns for touchdowns, one off the kickoff, opening game kickoff, and then, of course, the punt return later in the game. At that point, Denver had gone forwards, back ahead with a seven-point lead, and back and forth. No one really thought that the Ravens would bring offensive firepower to the table to go up against, again, Peyton Manning, Dreesen, and the Denver wide receivers. I mean, Brandon Stokley's catch in the corner ends up nothing short of amazing. Again, a great football game that, again, with 30 seconds left in that game, 37 to be exact, you have what has to be the most catastrophic defensive breakdown known to man. And it sounded like this.
He's got great speed, but that's not going to get it done. Blackwell stepping up and throwing deep down the far sideline. To the end zone, touchdown, Jacoby Jones! How does that happen in the Denver secondary?
That is stunning. That's with a three-man rush and dropping eight guys into coverage, that the Denver Broncos could misplay this to this point. Only a three-man rush, Flacco steps up and unloads a deep ball. And again, I don't understand. Tony Carter has got the short coverage. How do you let the guys get deep? Raheem Moore, number 26, he's late coming. It's just amazing. Amazing.
Raheem Moore, as all the ads say, and the season ended on him. Well, I am sure every team will tell you that there are a lot of plays in the game that will cost you a game. The glaring thing is with 37 seconds left in the game, you're up, you're at home. You have this thing literally in tow. You should be thinking about letting no one get behind you. And then as we all watch the clip, you see Jacoby Jones get behind the corner, knowing there's supposed to be deep safety coverage, and that safety coverage is incredibly late to get there. He more bit on an inside route, and it was just torched at that point. Jacoby Jones could have literally walked into the end zone, which is largely what he did. And again, to the storied career of Ray Lewis, it continues to go on another day for Peyton Manning. It's a tough pill to swallow, knowing that even when you got to overtime in this game, there were questionable decisions. The blurb about John Fox, did he play not to lose as opposed to winning? The answer to that question is yes. For anyone who feels free to want to contest, I'll give you the number, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Feel free to call me. We can talk about it. But the bottom line is, when that play happened, when Raheem Moore got burned and that game suddenly became tied, there were 31 seconds left by the time Baltimore had kicked off to Denver, and Denver gets the ball. You have two timeouts, your quarterback is Peyton Manning, and you decide to take a knee and let this thing get into overtime. That, my friends, it falls into the category of Lovie Smith, let's find a way not to lose instead of playing to win the football game. Two timeouts, Peyton Manning's your quarterback, Demaryius Thomas is one of your wide receivers, and remember the Demaryius Thomas catch from Tim Tebow last year that eliminated Pittsburgh. I'm having a really, really Tom, as a football fan, thinking that there's a lack of aggression suddenly in the approach in, as we get down to the wire here. This is a game of who of one-upsmanship and who wants it more. And for what it's worth, unfortunately, in the final analysis, the Baltimore Ravens wanted it more. Maybe they wanted it for Ray Lewis. Maybe they wanted to keep the story going. Their defense, outstanding for as much as they possibly could for what they're up against throughout that game with turnovers, fumbles. Again, it was a great game to enjoy, great game to watch. The peaks and valleys on both sides were clearly evident. Peyton Manning's last throw, which was picked off by Corey Graham, as much as you want to say that was a bad throw, Peyton's done that before. And again, Corey Graham credit for making the play, because that's the bigger story. The play that Corey Graham makes on that ball to make that interception, to turn that over, to give the Ravens the ball in their territory overtime to set up for a 40-yard field goal, again, by the rookie kicker nonetheless, to win that football game. So, again, exciting football game. Sad, obviously, that anyone has to lose. And we have the post-game interview between Deion Sanders and Ray Lewis. And as soon as I get my hand on it, get that to you right now. There you go. Check this out.
And so the retirement party for number 52 in Ravens gear is delayed at least another week. And Deion, I'll let you do the introductions here. Go ahead.
Ray Lewis, how are you, sir?
I'm good, baby boy. What's up?
Can you take me through the emotions of your last game in your home stadium, now going to Denver and doing what you guys just accomplished?
Man, you know what, Ram? It's unbelievable when you see how great the ride is. You know, it's kind of hard to explain because the emotions are so high and the things that's going on right now. You know, that God is in full control of it, and I'm just along for the ride. You know, trying to just get my team to kind of see it the way I see it, man. And just what this team is doing, you know, for not just us, for our city, for the football world, for the sports world. It's just it's an awesome movement that's going on right now.
I think you're along for more than a ride. You had 17 tackles today. This team is 7-1 when you play 5-5 without. Can you tell us what you bring to the table? Because you guys took a beat down the last time you guys played this team without you on the field.
Yeah, you know what? I just truly believe, you know, last time we played them, we didn't have five of our starters, you know, on defense, and we was encouraged about that, you know, to come in here and actually get them with all of our guns, you know, back. So it was kind of an exciting time when we came back and knew that we was going to have all of our guns back. And for me to get back, like I said, I'm just trying to get the guys to kind of see the vision the way I see it. And I just applaud my team. I applaud my team for coming in here, being the underdogs the way that we were. You know, the whole week, you know, everything was about Denver. And mad respect. There's no greater respect I have for probably the greatest quarterback of all time in Peyton Manning. But for our team to come in here and do what we did, it's just awesome.
Take me through the game. What was your thought process during the game? They returned a punt for a touchdown. It was up and down.
Yeah.
And what was the one tangible thing that you said, guys, this is what we need to do to win this game?
Well, honestly, I think the thing that before we left the locker room was the most important thing. You know, we grabbed hands and we touched and agreed, and I told them to repeat after me, and I just recited, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So no matter how many times they ran kickoff backs, we never wavered. I told them to claim victory. Victory is ours, man, and we did. And that's one sideline that no matter what happened today, we just kept fighting, we kept fighting, we kept fighting. And so that last kick went through. And that's what makes teams, you know. It's one thing that go on, and you can talk about many things, but what makes team is a true belief in what you believe in each other. And we just have so much belief in each other.
Ray, it's Chris Rose. But still, with 30 seconds left in regulation, it was looking a little bleak. And then Joe Flacco throws it 70 yards to Jacoby Jones. And when the ball ends up in his hands, what were you saying?
You know what? I can only tell you what I share with him, and he'll probably tell you. I just told him, God just told me to come do what I was supposed to do, and that was just to put my hands on him. I just came and put my hands on him. I just told him to go do what you do. And for that ball to drop in his hands with 30 seconds left, how else can you draw that up? You know, you can't draw that up in sports. And I think it's actually a bigger life lesson. that if you believe in each other, anything is possible.
Well, you know, I'm a man of faith, and I believe also, but I believe Tom Brady is praying as well as Aaron Foster in Houston. Which one of these guys would you like to see as well?
You know what, Prime? At this point, man, it don't matter. You know, we're gonna go back home and get healthy. We're gonna enjoy this one for less than 24 hours. See who we're gonna play in. Both teams are great. Both teams are great, and we face both teams this year. So it'll be a great challenge, no matter who we face. Man, I just think we're looking forward to the opportunity.
Ray, we appreciate the
Thank
time.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah. Thank you.
By the way, the bus
Love
isn't going to right, leave without you. I just want to let you know. The bus does not leave
the
without Ray.
The bus ain't
going
to leave without me.
Okay. You ain't just going to cut us off.
Sugar,
just walk away like that, cutting us off either. We ain't playing that. But we'll let you go and catch this bus.
All right. I love you, man. All right, y'all be good.
That is Ray Lewis and Deion Sanders right after the game. After the Baltimore Ravens shock the Denver Broncos 38-35, again, all week long, it had been Denver team, 11 wins straight, superstar quarterback, Peyton Manning, the MVP. Is he the comeback player of the year? Yes, he may be all of those things. Let's not forget Adrian Peterson coming off one of the worst knee injuries in the history of the game, ACL, MCL, and a bunch of damage inside that knee, reconstructed. Comes back, runs for just under the NFL records. He just missed the NFL single season record by 9 yards. It was at 21,098, crazy number. Suffice to say, Adrian Peterson, if he's not your MVP, then he's got to be comeback player of the year. Maybe they'll give one to one and one to the other. But both players, an amazing run and amazing years for both players. Peyton will be back next year. Adrian Peterson will be back next year. What is your wish list for next year? At 26 past the hour, what is your wish list for next year's football season? Maybe your team somewhere in this world needs a quarterback. Well, guess what? You're going to have to get it in free agency because it's not. If you need offensive line, you got a whole bunch to choose from. A lot of Division I schools, a lot of seniors, a lot of juniors are going to come out this year. Big boys with great footwork, so maybe you get some of that good stuff there. If you're a running back of the Chicago Bears or the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Miami Dolphins, you want one of those big boys up front. You need a great left tackle to open up those lanes. I saw some of the scheme blocking that the Ravens did for Ray Rice yesterday was nothing short of amazing. Nothing short of amazing. The scheme blocking that the Niners do for Frank Gore, nothing short of amazing. Now, yes, there were two football games yesterday, not just the one. While we all kind of stood and stared and watched it, and we kind of forgot about Green Bay and San Francisco for a while because the Ravens and Broncos had gone into overtime, there was indeed a second football game yesterday, and it was one largely dominated by the line play of the San Francisco 49ers, who literally made the Green Bay defense look like they were, well, fans. Now, I'm going to be starting to go something different with that, but let's keep this as professional and as clean as we possibly can. Interesting stuff. News from the West Coast, but we'll get to that in a minute. In the meantime, the second game yesterday, the 49ers-Packers, a game that many people had the Niners as the underdog in this football game. Please understand that a focused Niners team can be a very good one, and now that they've understood this whole read option and what is possible with Colin Kaepernick, he's a bigger version of RG3. Many people know he's fast. They didn't know how fast he was. They got a good taste of it yesterday by some of the stats he puts up. But in the end of all that fun stuff, it is the Niners and Kaepernick running over 45-31. I have never seen a Niner team composed like this that would put up 45 points. I expect the Niners to win 24-17, 24-21, in kind of a slobber knocker, kind of a muddy, dirty game. And as we talked about this throughout the week, that's all any of us, including Kurt Warner, Willie McGinnis, all of us, that's all we ever talked about all week long, is that this game needed to be muddy, it needed to be dirty. Well, it wasn't. It actually was very, very clean, and it was San Francisco getting into a bit of a shootout and actually being able to hang and actually being able to run away. It was just stunning. Absolutely stunning. So let me reiterate my shout-outs from the beginning of the show to all those of you listening still. For those who prognosticated, unlike myself, that Green Bay and Denver would handle business yesterday. I give you major league kudos, okay? So to the friends in Calgary who still believe that Seattle is going to do all, well, you're still there, and I have to take back to you humble that Seattle has not played yet. I am actually rooting for the Seattle Seahawks to take care of the Atlanta Falcons today. I anticipate the Patriots to handle the Houston Texans. Next week will be a whole lot of fun because Ray Lewis goes to New England. That will, in and of itself, will be a story. It'll be a revisionist history here. On the other side, I can't stand the Atlanta Falcons, and I humbly submit that to anyone listening. And it's nothing personal. Matt Ryan's a great quarterback. Yeah, he is. Roddy White's great wide receiver. Julio Jones, great. Michael Turner, one of my favorites. But that team as a whole, the way it's constituted, I don't know if it's just the blessing of the record or whatever. That team does not deserve to be a number one seed, and that's just one man's opinion. I mean, Bill Parcells used to always say, you are what your record says you are, so they are who they are. And I pray Seattle shows you who they really are this afternoon in a couple of hours. I am so hoping that Russell Wilson and Sherman and Marshawn Lynch get it going against the Falcons. Again, it's indoors. Which, again, is a fast track for the Atlanta wideouts. Again, I don't think that Michael Turner's going to have the game he hopes to have, only because Seattle's huge. They're physically large. They're physically stronger on defense than just about anyone else that Atlanta's faced all season long. So this will be a fun game. So by about 3:34 o'clock Eastern time, you'll have a better idea of what that's all going to mean for the Niners and whether or not they're going to be at home facing the Seahawks or whether or not they're going to be on the road in Atlanta. For my money, if the Niners play like they played yesterday, it may not matter. But as if the season and the latter parts is any indication, nobody wants to play Seattle, including 49ers. I could take you back down that beat down Seattle put on them, but that was, of course, in Seattle. This game will be in San Francisco. If Seattle's able to pull this one off. Now, should Atlanta find a way to win this game today? The Niners will go to Atlanta, and at that point, everyone that I know that's a real fan becomes a San Francisco 49er fan. Not because of Colin Kaepernick, and I know my family loves the Falcons. I got family down there. They love Atlanta. They love the Falcons. Yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm going to get off this haterade that I'm obviously drinking for Atlanta. But that's just still not. But let's see what happens today. The other game, Houston and New England. Look for Tom Brady to be Tom Brady. The last time these guys played in New England, it was a blowout. We're talking of nth degree of really bad proportion. So look for much the same, unless the Houston Texans can get Arian Foster really going and keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, because New England's going to score and score in bunches, and they've got all the weapons back. That'll be a fun game as well. But let me not jade away too far, because those games are yet to be played. Let's get back to Green Bay and San Francisco. And by the way, the prognosticators out there, and Dalton and Harvey and Markham, you know who you are. I have to bow down for a humble moment to you, because you were absolutely right. You picked both games right yesterday. I picked both games wrong. Satisfied? God, I hope so. Okay. Because otherwise I have to go rock on you and tell you that it doesn't matter if you're satisfied or not. Your teams are still playing, and mine aren't. So shout-outs to the queen of prognostication in Dalton. I'm not going to say your name because your head will get huge, and as if it already isn't big as all outdoors. Anyway, big-time shout-out to Dorian Bridges. Let me tell you a little bit about Dorian Bridges. For those of you who have been following the show for some time, Dorian Bridges is a football player. Now, not the average football player, by interesting imagination. Dorian Bridges is the mother of one. And that's right. You heard me correct. The mother of one. She plays for the Chicago Force. And very seldom does anyone play the game with that much heart and that much passion. She plays cornerback. If you ever get a chance, check out her profile on Facebook. Dorian D. Bridges. She's a defensive back. Some of the shots she got, that'll give you a whole different perspective on what it is to deal with a strong, determined woman. All right. So kudos to Dorian Bridges. You guys had a great season. Literally got to the championship game. I believe you lost by 3 points in that game, a game that obviously could have gone either way. And I know you're looking forward to getting back this year. So kudos to you. So to Stephanie, I'm just going to name you now. Yeah, you were right. I said it. Now you should be happy. I'll holler at the rest of y'all about that later. The reality is they were right. I was wrong. I had Denver Green Bay. They had the other teams. Kudos to them for their picks. But today's a new day. And with that new day comes a new fresh air of sunshine and new opportunities to get it right. So let me tell you what's going to happen today. New England is going to beat the crap out of Houston. Okay. Nah, I shouldn't say it like that. Houston will be in the game, but New England finds a way to win this game 38-27. And that's the 4:30 game on the East Coast, 3:30 in Middle Earth. The noon game today, Seattle-Atlanta. And I did this one last because so many of my family and friends are chomping at the bit to see how I'm going to, you know, am I going to slam Atlanta again? Am I just going to get all over, start drinking the Seattle Seahawks, you know, Kool-Aid? Well, perhaps I am. But I have Seattle actually winning this game, and they're going to slow some things down. I have Seattle winning this game 27-21. And again, I realize that game can go either way. I can see, you know, the flip of the Atlanta 27, Seattle 21. I don't think there's going to be more than 50 points scored in that game. I think the defenses on both sides are better than as advertised. And unless Matt Ryan suddenly finds the new another target besides Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, and I think their corners and their strong safeties will find a way to slow some of that down. So 27-21, that's the final score. I'm confident about the final score. Just not sure if it's going to be Seattle-Atlanta, but I'm going to lean towards Seattle because I think they're just fine. Russell Wilson, the unsung rookie in this class, you know, he wasn't considered to be a rookie of the year candidate. It was all about RG3. It was all about Andrew Luck. And here comes a third-round draft pick that beats out the high-priced free agent that the Seahawks had from last year that they got from Green Bay. His name fails me now. But he beats the guy out, and all he's done is taken his team deep into the playoffs. So why not? Russell Wilson, continue to dance, continue the show. Now, back to some highlights, okay, because we have some fun things to talk about. Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers going up against now either the winner of, obviously, Seattle and Atlanta. I don't know how they're going to stop this guy. I don't know how you stop the read option. I really humbly don't. RG3 ran until yesterday than anyone had ever seen in the history of the game until yesterday. And Colin Kaepernick took his athleticism, his speed, his size, 6'4", 233 pounds, and put it on display in a manner that made Green Bay look slow. They looked confused. They looked lost. They literally looked lost. I don't know how you come back from that because you know you're going to see a dose of this all over again. You're absolutely going to get this again and again and again and again in this game coming up this weekend. So, ooh-wee. Well, let's do the man. He's right by the man and his talents from yesterday. Where's it at? Did we not move this? All right, well, guess what? We will go a different way. I see the Trendon Holiday, which we played. We did that. We've done everything else. Everything else is right. Where's that? Do we not have it? Maybe we don't. All right, we'll tell you what. Let's take a break. It's 38 past the hour. We'll see if we can get our hands on that, and we'll come back to you shortly. See you in a minute.
I from Progressive.
Flo here, coming at you live from Progressive. Today's topic is
savings.
Our first caller is Betty.
Hi, Flo. My insurance company just sent me a bill, and it went up again. Can you guys help me get a better rate?
Betty, you came to the right place. Only Progressive has the Name Your Price option.
Name Your Price.
That's great. How does it work?
We'll give you a starting point, and you adjust it based on your needs, so you're only paying for what you want.
Betty's calling the shots.
Let's go to our next caller. She's from my hometown, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Go ahead, caller.
Flo, is that you? Just a little reminder about the family reunion. You should talk to Uncle Gene about getting a ride to the house.
Mom, I thought we agreed you weren't going to call here anymore.
Name your price for car insurance. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Available in most states for new quotes. Price match may be limited.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
More than happy to accommodate it. Trendon Holiday back for the punt. Back to his own 10. Breaking free, right side. Gets the block. Holiday down the sideline. Touchdown down.
think you're inside the home of Peyton Manning now. I think you're inside the home of Aaron Rodgers today. And, yeah, down home blues might be the order of the day. It's going to take a little bit. They'll lick some wounds, and of course they'll get ready for next year. But we asked you earlier, what is your what's your wish list look like for next year for football? Who do you want to coach your Chicago Bears, your Buffalo Bills, your Jacksonville squads? Well, Buffalo's already got a new coach. You know, Lovie Smith's still unemployed. He'll be interviewing with the Eagles soon enough. Fun things. I mean, hot stove NFL is just as much fun as hot stove Major League Baseball. As we start to see free agents flying all over the place. It's just different, though, to know that Green Bay is gone. Denver is gone. They are sitting at home alongside my Chicago Bears, wondering what could have been. Bears 10-6 don't make the playoffs. Fire Smith, and, again, twerks and tweaks and along the way. And, again, and my wife often says, you can go from worst to first in this league. And it's just odd that that could happen in football. When it doesn't tend to happen so much in baseball. But it does tend to happen quite a bit in the game of football. A role player here. I mean, again, at any given time, there are 22 players on the field, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, and a play can turn your whole season around. Just ask Raheem Moore of the Denver Broncos as, the play is in of itself. And let's revisit that one more time because I think that's just really...
He's got great speed, but that's not going to get it done.
37-7 left in the game. This time we're
back. Flacco stepping up and throwing deep down the far sideline. Caught into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Jones. How does that happen in the Denver secondary?
That is a great question. How does that happen in the Denver secondary? 70 yards flight into Jacoby Jones' hands. Why? Because Raheem Moore didn't get over to cover deep pass. And again, that short corner lets him go like he's supposed to, knowing he's got topside help. And it just was late getting there. And before you know it, as Ray Lewis said after the game, no weapon form. Indeed, Ray, because this was done. This was in the bag. All Denver had to do was knock this thing down, kill all that last 30 seconds, and you're out of there. And the history of Ray Lewis starts to be documented in full flow as a great career. Instead, Ray, and the journey continues, and they've got a date either in Houston or in New England based on what happens this afternoon. 42 past the hour. Back to the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. And again, we'll bounce back and forth because this is good stuff. This is just fun. Colin Kaepernick puts on a show yesterday, 181 yards from the quarterback position. Not supposed to happen. Alex Smith, that doesn't happen. And you know, I guess kudos to Jim Harbaugh, for making the switch. Alex Smith gets hurt. Colin Kaepernick comes in. If you remember, Colin Kaepernick plays the night against the Bears on a Monday night game when the Niners just blew out the Bears. I forget the score. It was ugly. It was all Niners all night long. And he decides, even after Alex Smith gets healthy, to stick with the kid. And before you know it, now this kid has taken your team into the playoffs and deep playoffs, and now he's on his way back to the NFC Championship game. This was Colin Kaepernick's day.
Colin Kaepernick, and I know Troy talking to you, this is the great unknown coming into this game. They had Alex Smith at quarterback playing well. He took him to the champ game last year. Now it's the second-year quarterback. Big weapon back for the Packers. On third down and 10, Kaepernick has to scramble. Now floats. He's got Gore. Gore is down inside the 30 and knocked down inside the 25. Kaepernick steps up, will try and run to pick it up. He's got a touchdown. Got to get it into the end zone. That's Crabtree, and he does. And 49ers 5-for-7 on third down. Kaepernick makes it 6-for-8. Kaepernick, Crabtree for the touchdown. Blitz coming. 49ers try and pick it up, and there's Kaepernick again. Second down and 4. Kaepernick keeps it. Fooled everybody. Colin Kaepernick, what a game. Touchdown. Second down and 9. Pump fake. Davis. What a throw. First down at the 15. Colin Kaepernick, who was born in Milwaukee, grew up a Packers fan, has just broken the heart of the Green Bay Packers and their fans here tonight.
Make no mistake about it. Colin Kaepernick, his name is etched all over Packerland today. not much you can say. If you have a chance to watch the game, it's not as if the Packers were didn't know this could happen, didn't know this was coming. They just looked like they weren't ready. I mean, Clay Matthews was out of position so many times, jumping on a fake. And, again, if this – I don't know that if this were RG3, it would have made that much difference. They could not handle the read option. They could not handle a running quarterback, one of this stature, this nature, which again, the Russell Wilson, the RG3s, and now the Colin Kaepernicks. Are we seeing a redefinition of the quarterback position? You know, a few years ago, when it was Kurt Warner, the perfect drop-back pass with the beautiful balls, those were beautiful, and we thought that was the quarterback position, the way it's supposed to be played. But that's all been redefined, you know, and maybe even started by the Mike Vicks of the world back in his Atlanta days. But I think we're seeing a coming-of-age of the quarterback position where you have to be that dual threat. You have to be that kind of guy that can put that much pressure on a defense that makes them guess, even if they're in their packages, in their schemes. It is what it is, and it was impressive to see yesterday. Again, the last time you saw a quarterback run for hundreds of yards, next to RG3, you may have to go back to the Randall Cunningham days with Philadelphia, and before that, the Bobby Douglas days in Chicago. But, man, it was impressive. It was impressive to see, and all you heard was San Francisco literally chanting, Kaepernick, Kaepernick. Now, not that he's going to make anyone forget about the Youngs of the world. That's probably not going to happen. It's really not going to make you forget about the Jerseys. But the way they played yesterday, collectively as a team, you know, the read option seemed to open up passing lanes. Crabtree, Vernon Davis, I mean, they've got some. Randy Moss had the youthful intervention moments yesterday, looking like the old Randy Moss. Impressive. And again, to see the Niners continue to go deep. I don't think that Randy Moss has been on. I think he was on the 15-1 team that made to the miserable. They made it the NFC Championship game and lost to Atlanta. That's right. They did not get the Super Bowl that year. But I don't think Randy Moss, he was on the 16-0 Patriots team that went and lost to the Giants. But Moss has never won a championship. He's been to the dance once with the Patriots. So we'll see if the 49ers can give him another opportunity to get back to that big dance. Again, Randy Moss now has become a very quiet, hardworking, humble brother. I think he's just very, very happy to be playing the league. Unfortunately, buddies like Terrell Owens and Micah Sims-Walker, those guys have not been given an opportunity yet, and we still wish good things for all those guys across the board. But anyway, yesterday was all about Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers taking care of this and shutting up the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, and all that talent. Again, I humbly submit to anyone listening, there is not a better wide receiving core than what exists in Green Bay. That is Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Jermichael Finley, a tight end, and James Jones. James Jones is, to me, one of the now that he's catching balls and not dropping them, one of the best wide receivers in the game of football. Again, most people aren't gifted with that kind of size and that kind of hands and that kind of speed. When he's on, he's unstoppable. He is. He is truly, truly hard to stop. And for what Charles Tillman tried to do against him, because Charles Tillman was one of the best corners in the game. And, I think he slowed him down, but even then, you don't stop at James Jones. You just hope he drops a few balls along the way. Anyway, 48 past the hour. Your NFL playoff tap. You are almost ready to get it cranked up. I don't know what's on your grill today, but whatever's on your grill, hopefully it's got some good fresh veggies on it. It's got some good healthy meats on there. Got some good protein, and you're going to really, truly enjoy this today. Because in about 11 minutes, Seattle Atlanta get kicked off, and that is your NFC game. So you'll find it on your Fox affiliate. Later on this afternoon, about 3:30 in Middle Earth, 4:30 on the East Coast, you'll find Houston visiting New England, the Patriots. That game will take you into your evening. And at that point, you will know what your Final Four really, truly looks like. You already know two of them. You know Baltimore's there. You know the 49ers are there. Let's see if it's going to be the Texans, the Patriots, the Falcons, or the Seahawks. We'll find it all out soon enough. In the meantime, I kind of jaded over this a little bit because it really wasn't important for the day. But, we've got a little bit of time. Let's talk about this, all right? Well, I guess. Do we really have to do this? Well, all right, fine. Okay. All right. All right. I hear you. I hear you. They're chirping in my ear. That's fine. It's fine. Yesterday, number 20, NC State beats Duke 84-76. Okay. I would tell you this was a game of two halves, but you know, if you got a chance to watch the game, I mean, this game was a game. Up until about 10 minutes to go in the second half, and even then, the game had still not truly been determined until late. It's a missed shot by North Carolina by Duke. Mason Plumlee had 15 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 steals, 2 block shots. Again, he was the star of the Duke team. But the bottom line is they had no answer for Howell, who had 16 points, 18 rebounds, and dominated down low. C.J. Leslie takes NC State in and hands number one Duke its first loss. Merry Christmas to NC State. They simply outplayed them. Again, you're hearing that name a lot more as NC State, now at 14-2, starts to make its push. You're going to see these teams in the tournament. That's all I'll tell you that. Georgetown does bounce back, 67-51 over St. John's. Indiana finds a way to get past Minnesota, 80-81. Syracuse, a 72-61 win over Villanova. Kansas State, 65-64, West Virginia. Number 14, Butler, 79-73 over Dayton. Let's see, number 17, UConn, unranked UConn finds a way to beat Notre Dame. That was kind of fun. And Wisconsin literally blows out my Illini, 74-51. So I don't know what to make of my Illini. You know, they look really, really good one day. I guess when you live by the perimeter shot and you die by it, that's how it kind of goes either. Or you look really, really superior, or you just get blown out when the shots just aren't falling. New Mexico, 72-45 over Fresno. It's hard to play in the pit anybody else. Louisville, 64-38 over USF. Kansas, 60-46 over Texas Tech. Florida, 70-52 over LSU. Arizona, an 80-70 winner over Oregon State. Number 10, Missouri continues to – well, actually, I'll take that back. Mississippi beats Oregon. I mean, yeah, am I seeing that right? Mississippi beats Missouri, 64-49. Didn't see that coming. San Diego State, a winner over CSU. Cincinnati, a winner over Rutgers, and UNLV, a 76-71 winner over the Air Force Academy. So there. Happy now? There's your college football scoreboard for the weekend. You'll see some changes in rankings. By the way, someone sent me a note that asked about how the final rankings actually shook out in college football. Well, if you didn't get there, you certainly find it on ESPN's website as well. You can go to NCAA.com and find this as well. But let's tell you how it all went down. Alabama comes up number one on both polls, USA and AP Top 25. Oregon winds up at 2. Ohio State, number 3, and this is the AP Top 25. Again, having nothing to do with the other BCS. Winds up being 4. On the USA Today, they wind up being 3. Georgia, 4. Texas A&M is 5. Stanford, 6. South Carolina, 7. Florida 8, Florida State 8 in the USA Today poll. So there you go. But you know, they wanted to know how much of the fall from grace was for Notre Dame. It wasn't as bad as many people had thought it was going to be, based on the drubbing they took. But again, Alabama, the best team in the country, at least for one more season. People in the Buckeye State or in Ohio they can't wait for next season to start because Urban Meyer believes he's got the squad. If this year was any indication of what they're working with, he may be absolutely right. They went undefeated. They were not bowl eligible this year, but they looked awful impressive throughout the season. But then again, so did Notre Dame until they got down to the big dance. So again, it's when men show up, as they love to say. Were there any teams that were one loss or undefeated teams that didn't get any love? The answer is no. Okay, all right. There you've got it. 53 the hour. So what do the Bears do next year? You got a new coach coming in. Don't know who it is yet. Which probably means you have new coordinators coming in. Do you give the Bears offensive system another overhaul, or do you try to build on what you've got because you've got a lot of talent there? Maybe you let Devin Hester just go back to doing what he does best and stop trying to make him a wide receiver. Maybe you've got an Alshon Jeffrey truly as your number 2, Earl Bennett as your number 3. Is Johnny Knox going to come back on your offensive side of the ball? And your O-line. We realize that the offensive line will be the focus of the draft this year, and there's a lot of talent out there. Look for some good things to come of that. And again, the Bears, I said it before, I'll say it again, are one great coach away from being a Super Bowl team. That is it. They are one great coach away. So if there's anybody I forgot to give credit or a shout-out to, charge it to my head, not my heart. All right? I was going to talk a lot of ish, but that would just be wrong. So let's give you all so much grief. about your poor picks like mine yesterday. Let's start fresh today. Who you got winning? 619-639-4747. Or hit me up on Facebook at The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Or hit me on Twitter at VinLove1207. That would be yours truly. Let me know what your picks are as we wind this thing down. Now, I guess as the host of the show, I do kind of get a mulligan. I still got to continue to talk about these playoffs and who's going to ultimately to get to the big dance. And, you know, based on the fact that the Ravens handled Denver so well, I have no reason to doubt that Baltimore can't handle anyone, whether Houston or New England, equally as well. I will tell you this. If Tom Brady is Tom Brady, it will be very, very difficult to go into New England to win. If the Houston Texans find a way to get it done, then I really like the Ravens' chance to get to another Super Bowl. I really, really do. But we shall see. We shall see very, very as they we'll see soon enough, I guess. All things considered, it is Super Bowl. It is fun. We are shutting this thing down. I have anything else to talk about. Let's see. Oh, what's this? Football Sunday starts in 10 minutes. Make your predictions. Seahawks, Falcons, Texas Patriots. Who go? This is coming from our friends over at DirecTV. That's always fun. Wow. Wow. Okay, so our friends from Atlanta still have the Falcons. About 53-47 right now. Falcons over Seahawks. And no one, and I mean no one, gives the Texans a shot against the Patriots. 89-11. Wow. That is heavy-duty Patriot love right there. Heavy-duty Patriot love. Well, again, we're going to find out far too soon, my friend. So strap it on. Get yourself something cold to drink. Get whatever you get off the grill, especially if you've been cooking there for a while, and settle into what should be an awesome day of football. Why do I think we're forgetting something? I'm not sure what we've gotten, but I get the impression we've forgotten something. There's no major UFC thing going on. All the clips are there. I think we're good. All the locks are done, deep in the playoffs now. Scrolling. There's nothing else. Finally, we've done it all. All right, so 15 seconds with Subway, and I think we're going to give all the love to the south suburbs of the Chicago market, and then we're going to shut it down. Back in 15 seconds. Actually, back in 45. I'm going to get back-to-back Subways. Wow. Okay, cool.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub. Hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it, sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steaky cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting panicures. Only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos. Sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food. Made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
January is Customer Appreciation Month at Subway Restaurants, so we're saying thanks with $3 6-inch sandwiches. That's right, our totally tasty egg salad and ham sandwiches are just $3 each. Hurry in, January only. Subway, think fresh, eat fresh.
Indeed, indeed. All right, well, minute and a half left in this dance. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Much love to Leona and the family out there in Richardson Park. Much love to all my friends. You know, I actually hate it when she does that. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I know you have no idea what I'm talking about. The little voice in it always reminds you exactly how much time you've got left and all that. That's just one of those, you know, they need to tone her down a little bit. Can we tone her down? God, is she obnoxious. Anyway, okay, I'm sorry. not that you care about any of that, all right? Anyway, so 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Please, please, please lock in your phone, lock into whatever device you want to reach out to us. You can find us on The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports on Facebook, thefastest60minutesinsports.com will be coming soon. Also, you will be hearing, if you follow me on Facebook, you've already heard me say that 2013 is the year of living awesome. I need you to understand that, and you'll be getting an opportunity to listen to other shows throughout this 2013 of understanding exactly what that means. Okay, there are things that you can do to live awesome, and please understand, when I say awesome, I mean really, truly enjoy the life that God has blessed you with. So, that said, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We'll see you all, as always, next time only on Are You Serious? All right, fine. Shouts out to the people out in Dalton for great prognostication on yesterday's football game. I'm not naming your name because I already did that. Much love. Get off me. Again, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Good job, you guys, and your prognostication. We'll see you next time only on Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. See ya. Bye-bye. Out of here. Gotta go. Bye. Get off. Get off. Get off. Get off.